Father, thank you again for this wonderful day to be in the house of God. One of these days we'll go for the last time. And then we're going to be just stepping out somewhere or another in the near future. And the trump's going to sound. The voice of the archangel is going to be heard. We got caught up to meet you in the air. But until that day comes, Lord, there's much that must be done for the glory of God. And I pray you'd help us do that as we set this month aside to remind us about some things that has to do with Christian life that you still think are important. And I pray you'd help us to be blessed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. And I know what you say, oh my, there we go again. Preachers can't preach on giving without going to Malachi chapter 3. But I'm just going to use this as a springing board. Now, I want to approach it a little bit different than the other Sunday school has, because all through the Sunday school today, they should be talking about this. And by the way, this is very, very important in the Christian life. I read an article recently said that Christianity has kind of arrived now because it no longer believes in adultery and fornication, don't believe in this thing of tithing. Just people trust God and live their lives for God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you can't live your life for God unless you're living like God says live it. But we live in an age today, we've arrived, we think, and God is everything we want Him to be, and therefore what we want Him to be, He will be, and He's so blessed to be able to have us in His fold that anything goes. Now, that's not the way it is. We're blessed to be called children of God. Oh, what manner of love it is that God said He's bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And so this morning, I hope this will be a blessing. Look with me in verse 8. And it simply says, will a man rob God? Now, I'm going to say a few things and leave this because I'm going somewhere else. We're looking at God's plan for our lives. And we looked at, first of all, God's plan for worship. Last week, God's plan for commitment. Now, this day is we're going to look at for God's plan for giving. And God said through Malachi, will a man rob God? And it's interesting because the word man here is the word that we get the word Adam from. It's autumn, and it's Adam, which is flesh or darkly. So what God is saying when He asks this, He's talking to the human race. Will a man rob God? And then Israel comes back and says, evidently, he said, and yet ye have robbed me. Now, will a man rob God? Seems like Israel is saying, well, isn't that wonderful, Lord? We're not just any man. We're the apple of your eye. We're the promise of God through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And look what we're doing. And God said, yet ye have robbed me. Whoa, God, how in the world have we robbed you? Surely, look what we're doing. We're going through the system. We have the temple, the tabernacle, now the temple. And how do we rob you? And then He said simply this, wherein ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. It's interesting. He said, you're accursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So we know He's talking to the nation as a whole, and that can include every individual there. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. He said, now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And doesn't mean you may get, like the charismatic likes to teach you, sometimes you get give God a dollar and He'll give you 10 back, give Him 100, He'll give you 1,000, give Him 1,000, He'll give you 10,000. No, but He says, I'll do something else for you. May not be cash that you can see in your hand every time, but it would be cash you won't have to spend. He'll do things for you. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the truth or the fruits of your ground, neither shall you your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. There's other things He can guide to bring blessings to, which in turn, that may not be necessary cash, multiple cash in our hands, but it would be that where we can keep more cash because we don't have to spend it for things. So there's a lot of different ways that God can bring this blessing about. Then some people say, wait a minute, preacher, you know, that's for Israel. He says it's the nation of Israel He's talking to here, and therefore the tithe goes to Israel. When God gave the tithe, gave to Israel. But may I remind you that 420 years before God gave the tithe, gave the command to tithe to Israel. He, in Genesis 14, in verse 18 through 20, you find Abraham practiced tithing before God ever gave us a law. So before the law was given, 420 years, patriarchs practiced tithing. Abraham paid tithes at Melchizedek. And now, at Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, God gave the command that the tithe was his. As you read that, and it's an amazing thing when he told Israel about this, he said, and all the fruit of the land, all the tithe of the land, and the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the trees is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. And he said, if a man will all redeem aught his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. In other words, he said, if you have to use something else before I get it, you owe me 20% more. That's what one-fifth is, isn't it? Well, we're going to have an account to give God one day, aren't we? If he does like MasterCard does, we will thank God for his grace more than that day. Then he said, and if a man will at all redeem all his tithe, then verse 32 says, concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now that's what God gave to Israel when he gave the command. He said, this is no laughing matter. This is mine. It's the Lord, it's holy. So we see 420 years before he gave the law, Abraham practiced it, and up to that time now we see God gave Israel the law, the tithe was his, and we move ahead 1,525 years to when Jesus came, and Jesus in Matthew 23:23, he actually commended the tithe when he was given his instructions, and he made this statement. He said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and nice and cumin, and have omitted the weighty matters of the law. In other words, they were given their tithe, thinking that do it and disobeying God in other areas. And he said, he made the statement, he said, they omitted the weighty matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. When it comes to judgment and accuracy and mercy and faith in the Lord and obedience and again mercy to show unto others, they came up short in that. He said, these ye ought to have done and not leave the other undone. The other's important, but there is something greater than that when it comes to interaction with other people. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 8 and 9, Paul gives a little bit further, 27 years after Jesus made his statement, then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul made his statement, which is about 27 years later after Jesus made his statement. And so you see running through the scripture how God tells us about giving. In the age of grace, you don't see the word tithe in the sense as we see the Old Testament, but God gives us information to understand that hey, listen to me, folks. God's done much more for us than he did for Israel. He redeemed us. Now, thank God Jesus Christ's blood took care of Israel. But you think, well, we've been bought with a price. We're part of the church. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word of God complete that we may read. Oh, my, what God has given us. No wonder we should give more than the tithe. And so the Bible teaches us that as we go through and put the Scriptures together. In other words, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul said in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, yet through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He goes on, he said, verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was unreadiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. For there be the first, a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. As a person determines in his heart to give to God, it is an act of love under grace, given voluntarily, is a test of sincerity and love. Verse 12, he says, for if there is a first a willing mind and accepted, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to what he hath not. And then the latter part of verse 14, he said, he does this that there may be equality. God's word is in such a way that everyone can do it and be on the same level. Brother Keith talking about this morning, the giving. If you give, you know, you make $10,000 and give $1,000. If you make $50 and give $5, it's equal. See, God's an equal God. So I want to talk to you just a few minutes on the difference between tithing and actually giving. You know, money affects people more than anything else in this world unless it's lust. Lust may be alone there equal to that. Those who go on Wednesday night, you understand we've been looking at that for a couple of weeks now, and when it does it at home. In other words, thefts and murders and embezzlements and immorality and drug sales and just about everything that leads to sin has to do because somebody is making money off of it. There's people who actually changed their doctrine due to money. Look in Luke chapter 12 with me and see what Jesus said down about verse 15. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said unto them, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In that instant, it's opposite man. Man looks at man, looks at where he's at, and all of a sudden, the wealth will cause the people to look at one that's been successful, not with God. With God, it isn't what you and I possess, it's how we obey him. He has an entirely different standard than what we have in looking at success in this particular life. So many change their doctrine due to money, and can very easily get out of the will of God. Now, it seems at first glance, where I read to you back in Malachi, it seems at the first glance of Malachi 3:10, one gets more than they can receive if they obey God and give it. Look with me also in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Boy, these TV advantages really stay on this one. And he talks about, he said, and give and it shall be given unto you. That's one thing. But it's more than just, hey, you give me and I'll give back. It is good measure. It is pressed down. It's shaken together. It's running over. He said, and when it comes to that place, then he says, over shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet or that ye distribute withal, it shall be measured to you again. So it seems at the glance of what Jesus said in Malachi said, if one tithes will get more than they can receive. Now let me ask you a question, folks. You look like intelligent people here today. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever come to God and told God, God, please don't bless me anymore. I just cannot take any more blessings. I've got money in every bank as much as the FDIC insurance will let me have there. I've got all I want. Please don't give me no more. Anyone ever done that? Well, wait a minute. If you've never said that, does that mean you don't tithe? Or, by chance, if you tithe and have not received that level of blessing, does that mean that what God said is not true? Is the Bible not true? Amen. It is true. And I say to you, when the Bible says one thing and we experience something else, the Bible is still always true. It is our experience that is faulty, and we have misread something, because when we stand before God one day, he will show us he kept his word as we obeyed him in this level of life. Hey, you don't know. You may have had a heart attack this morning standing as far as Satan was concerned before you got here, and God arranged otherwise. That saved you a lot of money. Saved me a lot of money. Amen? It might have been that I could have had a stroke before I got here this morning, and God changed it otherwise. That saved me a lot of money, especially when you're on Social Security. Amen, Brother Alford? So what am I saying, folks? You'd be surprised when God weighs the balancers out and the scales come out, how much you're going to find these words are true that he gives us in his word. See, the problem is never with the Bible. Experience is not a suitable foundation for a doctrine, or not even a suitable foundation for belief every time. This book is the foundation for what we believe. Experience is not suitable for foundation for doctrine. The Bible is God's word and should always be properly interpreted and applied in life in context by obedience, what God says. Now, some people declared this to be metaphorically, or rather actually, I believe that God meant what he said, and it's an action thing. And we'll see one day when we see it all in its completeness how God kept his word. Three quick points on the difference between tithing and giving. Now, God said, number one, first, that the tithe belonged to him. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, he gave that commission or that statement to Israel. It's holy, he said, and belongs to me. Now, it was given in the Old Testament, was it not? Yes, it was. God gave it to Israel. So when he gave it to Israel, he also set a 20% surcharge on it if they use it for anything else. And he kept the books. Israel didn't keep the books. And so we realize God meant business with it. Abraham's paid tithes to Melchizedek and practiced it many years before. In fact, tithing was practiced before the law itself was given. It was commanded under the law. And Jesus was fulfilling the law when he said, commend. He commended the law. Commended the law in Matthew 23, verse 23. Now, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. God does not need our money. You say, that's the reason I don't tithe, because he don't need it. But he did tell us to give it. So there must be more for us than it is for him. God owns everything. Listen. You know why I say that? Because every space of ground you and I take up, one day someone else is going to take it up. But here be here when we are gone and they are gone. He owns it all. And so here, it's amazing when we begin to analyze it. You know that tithing establishes in our mind ownership. It makes us understand that we don't own anything. We just maintain it. We just stewardship it. Because one of these days, you say, well, preacher, don't tell me. I own what I have right now. In the sight of the government, you may, but I tell you, it won't take one heartbeat. Someone else have it. So then who owns it? So in essence, God, who is in control of life, is in charge of everything. And so when we think along that line, it establishes in our mind ownership of everything. Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus 27, 30 and 32, God said the tithe of the land is holy unto him, and especially Leviticus 27, 30 and 32. Now, let me ask you a question. In taking the offering this morning, let's suppose that one of the ushers I called to pray, and I called Matthew, but I won't lay this on him because he wouldn't pray this way. And I'm glad he would not. And you'll be glad when I say what the prayer is. So suppose a person, though, said pray, and he prayed something like, Father, thank you for this opportunity to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. We obey you in our giving because we thank you for what you have done. Please bless those who obey you and judge the dirty crooks who steal from you. Now, what he said to begin when you wouldn't even hear it, but you get that last phrase, amen? It would come in quickly, I'm sure, and say, well, I'll tell you. Well, why would he say that at all? And he claimed Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? So here what happens, people try to redefine the word rob. They try to work around it to get something more so than thus saith the Lord, which in turn will satisfy them. As an usher this morning, give me another example. Suppose that you, an usher, had taken the offering today. By the way, we've got honest men here, so believe me, nothing like this would happen. Thank God for the people who had all the money here. We have double checks and checks of record where people don't count money by themselves. It's checked three or four different ways. But this is just in a hypothetical situation. You know what that is, don't you? Don't look it up when you get home. But suppose this morning that an usher who took the offer up was getting a little low in cash, and he says, you know what? He said, I want to come back to church tonight. I want to come back Wednesday night. I don't have enough money to buy my gas to come back tonight. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take $25 out of this plate, and I'll give it back Friday when I get my paycheck. What would that be? Really? Stealing. Yes, it'd be stealing. Absolutely. No one told him to give me permission to do that. Even God didn't give permission to do that. Now, why do you ask that, preacher? Because I want to say this, that may look like a gentleman excuse and might have been honest in the heart, and he might have tried to give it back, but the odds are if he got it, he might not have given it back, because once you ever get something you plan to do, you find some reason not to do it. That's the way we all are. But I want you to understand this. That would be stealing, absolutely. We recognize that as stealing. But hear this. Here's the but now. Hear this, ladies and gentlemen, because this is absolutely true, what I'm fixing to say. There is no difference in God's eye between taking money out of the offering plate or failing to put money in the offering plate, because both of them are God's tithes. Woo! Uh-oh. There's one bit of difference. If it's God's tithe on my pocketbook or if I take it out of the collection plate, it's the same in God's eyes. Or it's stealing if you take it out of the offering plate. But if I've got $100 and 10 of it's God's and it's still in my pocket, and I'm going to give it this week, God, I'm not going to give it to you, then, ladies and gentlemen, what's the difference? What is the difference? Hey, isn't this good? Aren't you happy this morning? Isn't it wonderful? Can't you be cheerful? Isn't it amazing? You don't have to talk about salvation to be cheerful. You can talk about giving to be cheerful when you give it. You know, it's amazing. The tithe doesn't become God's tithe just when it goes into the offering plate. It is his money, whether it's in the plate or in your pocketbook. No, it is God who enforces the punishment when it comes to tithing. We will reap what we sow, and you can be sure the day will come, no telling how many of us God has taken it some other way. We didn't even notice it. But we get to heaven, the book's balanced. So we'll be that. Let's face it. This is something so easy for us to get around. And by the way, you hear it on this day. Someone says, next year if I'm here, I'm not going to be back on the third Sunday in February. But what I'm saying, the tithe doesn't just belong to God when it goes in offering plate. Here, the whole nation of Israel was cursed for keeping the tithe. God gave us a principle for individual in Malachi chapter 3, but he promised the blessing for the nation of Israel. God gave a principle for us in giving. And if you want to look at it in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and as individuals do it, but God blessed the church as the church as a whole does what God said to do. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know as good as I do. If Barbara and I were still like we were by ourselves years ago, this wouldn't happen. We would never have been able to do this. We wouldn't have the money to do it. But God has given us people through the years collectively who did what God said do. Some may gave more, some may gave less, but those who gave more made more, those who gave less made less, and together they come together in a unit, and God said, I'm going to bless Fellowship Baptist Church, just like he said, I'll bless the nation of Israel. And he's done that. We see the reward. Or he give us the ability, he give us the intellectual ability to look at things and work it so that where sometimes we may not have had the money, we didn't need the money, like no interest on it on loan. Could it have been that God helped us do that for those who did give and those who did not? He made it up on the other end. Things just don't happen. Why has this church been so successful with that? And every church I've ever presented to so far has never been as successful as God has us be successful. And I presented in Maryland and different places right now, have calls to go and present how this church raised the money to build the buildings we have today. God, hey, you can't be, this is what I'm talking about. God says, I'll move some things for you. I'll rebuke the devourer. He'll work at the other end. We have a prayer share-a-thon here for the radio, and it's coming up in a couple few weeks from now. And these people who work with us and the ladies know every day we pray. And when I pray to God, I pray, God, help us have the money. Help us get the money in for the radio. If not, help us make it up some other way we don't even see right now, because you know what we need. And every year it seems like we don't get a whole lot of money excess, but it seems like we get what we need to operate. That's God. That's God. But think how much more we'd get if people would respond. I believe God has to touch a lot of people to get one person to respond. Because we're all caught in this particular trap, you see. So here the whole nation was accursed for keeping the tithe. God gave us a principle for individuals in Malachi 3, but the promise of blessing for the nation as a whole. I want you to notice that he said that ye, he noticed God said, when a man robbed God, but ye have robbed me. Ye is plural. He's talking to the nation as a whole. He tells us that in the latter part of the next verse. He tells us that in verse 9. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He said, but ye, that is, ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed thee? The thee is plural. That thee is individual, I'm sorry. Ye is plural. It's talking to the nation as a whole. The thee is singular, is individual. Talking about God. Ye as a nation, plural, have robbed God, who is singular at this case, because we know it's a trinity, but it's the word is singular, individual, here in this thing, in this era. So God told Israel the tithe belonged to him. Number two, Bible doctrine must always be taken in context. The Bible is not a spiritual Ouija board. Sometimes people take it that way. You do not just open the Bible and put your finger on the scripture and claim the promise. If you do, you better watch out. It takes study of this scripture. God has things to put together in principle for us to understand some things at different times. You heard about the fellow, I'm sure you have, one day decided he's so burdened down, he said, I'm going to just open the Bible and put my finger on what I see, and that'll be God's answer to me. And he opened the Bible and took his finger down, and he looked at the verse of scripture, and it said, Jesus went out and hanged himself. He said, man, I don't like that. And he turned it over another, and shut his eyes, and he came, flipped through, and put back down again. He looked, and he said, go and do thou likewise. He said, man, I don't like that at all. And he said, I did it again. He put his finger back down again and came to a verse of scripture. He said, that thou doest do quickly. You can't get doctrine by random putting your fingers down. You may get some good verses once in a while that you can read and be a comfort, but God gives us understanding by studying. Reading is good to run through the sifter of the mind. But studying is how you learn. You never took a test in your life in school unless you studied for it. Unless you got a photographic mind. And I've not seen evidence of that. I mean, any of us having a photographic mind. Most of you got one better than me. But I'm saying to you, you just don't generally, you know, you've been there. You study, many of us study hard to get even what we get when it comes to tests in this particular life. But Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to study the Word of God, rightly divide in that Word. The word to right divide means to cut it straight. Nothing will come out unless it is kept straight. And God warns about just that. Cut it straight. I read a story, and I don't know if it's true or not, up in Amish country years ago in Pennsylvania. There was some people up there visiting on a vehicle, and it ran across the place where one of the Amish people on the buggy was going down side the street and got in the road somehow, and then the car hit the buggy and threw the man off over the ditch. His horse laid over here, hurt real bad. Had a little dog on his seat. Little dog laying right here, hurt real bad. He was laying in the ditch. He couldn't get out. And when the policeman got there, he walked over to the horse, first of all. Saw the horse was bad off. I mean, looked like neck or something was broken. He just knew the horse wouldn't live at all. So he took his pistol and shot him right in the head. You know, we know where a little dog, and little dog was hurt too. The dog looked like he broke three or four legs. He couldn't break no more. He didn't have no more than that. But the thing about it is, he looked at the dog, and the dog was bad off, and he took his pistol and shot the dog. Now, the thing about the story goes that the attorney for the driver in court, of the car in court, said to this man beforehand, he was suing for $250,000, he said, "Sir, did you not tell the policeman on that day that you had never felt better in your life?" He said, "Yes, sir, I sure did, but you got to take it in context." He said, "He saw my horse over there, bad off, and he took his pistol and shot him. He came to my dog, saw him bat off, and he took his pistol and shot him. He said he came over to me and asked me how I'm doing. I said, I'm not doing better. I hadn't had no better day in my life, and I've had run." The context makes a difference, you see. What's going on makes a difference how you define such things as that. You have to look at the context. Number three, the Bible makes a distinction between tithing and giving. God said the tithe is his. Paul talked about giving, which can go beyond that. Tithing is seen in Leviticus 27, 30 and 32. When we tithe, we discharge our obligation to what God has said do. Tithing is worship the Lord with the financial resources that he has given to us. Everything we have came from God. He said, "Preacher, not me. I worked hard for it." I'll tell you this, was your heart beating? Were you breathing? If you were, it came from God. Could you see? It came from God. Could you hear? Came from God. Could you talk? Could you think? Intelligent. It came from God, folks. Everything we have come from God. God did not give us anything. We did not get anything without Him giving it to us in this particular life. Now, here's the thing. Required giving is paying what we owe. And God said the tithe's His. Free will giving is an attitude of love and sacrifice to give because we love someone. Once the tithe is given, we can move into other areas. We can move into areas of justice, dealing with other people. We can move into mercy, showing to other people. We can move into faithfulness to God by obedience. Justice is to be fair in our dealings with others. But if we're not giving the tithe like we should, we're not even fair with God. If I can't be fair with God vertically, how can I be fair with others horizontally? Mercy is to be forgiven towards those who are not fair with us. And faithfulness is to keep God at the center of everything we do or say. And if we are not obeying God in giving, He's not the center of everything we do and say. That's obvious. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. You say, "But you know what? I have given my tithe to God and didn't seem to get anything, even a thanks of any kind." Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, most of us have been paying on a house for a number of years. And I never had one letter from the person who financed my house to thank me for paying the payment. Have you? They may have tried, if you ever got it paid off, and they may want you to buy another and sent you one and said, "We thank you for doing this, get another." But have you ever sent a payment in and got on what you owed? You know why? We owe that to them. It's a debt. You don't say thank you for a person who paid their debts. It's a requirement. I thought about that. I mean, if you allowed someone to borrow your truck or your car and they borrowed it, when they bring it back, you don't owe them a thank you for bringing it back. They're supposed to bring it back. They wouldn't have had the vehicles if you hadn't let them have it. You don't tell the person, hey, I let you use my vehicle for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden you brought it back. Thank you for bringing it back. I didn't think you were ever going to bring it back. No, that's not it at all. You don't, why? It's yours. And they borrowed it. You don't owe them a thank you. Think with me now. God owes us nothing for giving him his tithe. It belongs to him. Somebody said, give it to God. He'll give. Hey, listen, that's the way our God is, folks. But God is not obligated to give back to except what he said in his word. He said he would, but God says it's his if we owe it to him. If he never gives another dime, he deserves it because it's his. But then one of our fathers says, if we'll do that and obey him, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. I'll fix it up. You'll get that raise you didn't think you was going to get. You'll find that job one day, you think. Or I'll, on the other end, work it out so you'll survive when you do get that job. You say, you know, I didn't know how I was going to make it, but look how what God did for me. It's an amazing thing to understand a little bit about this thing of giving. You pay the IRS. Boy, do you pay it. Do they ever send you a thank you note? I'll tell you this, if you miss one dime, they'll send you a dime. Or what is it? Yes, a done. Josh got us a done, ain't it, brother? Amen. They'll spend $50 to get 10. But they don't ever, have you ever got your, when you got sent off your time, you paid them, I mean, sent off your time. When you sent off your taxes to pay them, you ever get a little back? IRS said, we sure do thank you for paying your taxes this year. No, sir, they spent it. They probably had spent before we got it. Well, they are doing that now, aren't they? Amen. So, again, do they ever say thank you? The Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said this a few years ago. He said, taxes are the price that we pay for living in a civilized society. When we pay the tithe, then you give the offering. There's no offering given to after God gives his what is obligated to him. Proverbs 3, verse 9, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with this thy first fruits of all that thy increases. When God spoke about, when God's people obey him and give him, God multiplies the blessing as we join together in his work. And I just explained that to you here, what has happened down through the last 41 years. We together can do much more than one can do alone. There is quality and there's equity and we do it according to God's word. I read the other day, and I don't know this, raised on a farm, I should, but I don't know this, but I read the other day that two horses can pull 20 times more than one can by himself. Brother Tyre, you ever heard that? I just saw an article. One said it had been proven fact that two horses could pull 20 times more than one by himself. Well, I know this. Two or three can do a lot more for God than one. It isn't that God can't do much through one, but I'm saying when it comes to moving forward, financial and otherwise, this is a wonderful thing how God has set up for the church in the age of grace to be supplied by funds to do the work of God as God's people do cheerfully to him what he said do. So Israel, God said to Israel, God said the tithe was his, it belonged to him. And in context, the Bible makes a distinction between tithing and giving. They say most churches run on the 80-20% ratio. Sound like insurance, doesn't it? But it runs on 80-20% ratio. That is, 80% of the money is given by 20% of the people. Now, if everyone gave then, under that circumstances, if everyone, the other 80% give, we would not know what to do. We'd be like, Moses was with Israel. Quit giving because we don't know what to do with the money. I don't think you and I will ever see that in the age of grace. But that would certainly be true. If everyone gave, we just wouldn't know what to do. Giving would affect the church collectively just like it would do to the nation of Israel. God is not going to adjust his laws for us, though. He's not going to adjust them. We have to adjust to them. And then they affect us just like he said they would. We lose when we ignored God's laws and make our own adjustments. A cold heart will give grudgingly. A warm heart will have to be told to stop giving. This is what Paul calls a cheerful giving. In other words, the cheerful giving is the opposite of the one who gives grudgingly and complainingly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close with this thought. Some people get infuriated
when anybody gets up and begins to talk to the church about giving. Explain this to me, and I'll close. Explain to me how that Jesus Christ died on Calvary as people treat him like an animal. Explain to me that the thorns that he put on his head had 7 to 8 inches long that was crushed down upon his brow. Spear was thrown in his side. Spikes put in his hands and his feet. 400 soldiers or more passed by during the few hours there that he had between the different magistrates and spit on him. 39 stripes were torn at his flesh on his back. The beard was ripped off of his face just like he was some type of animal, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, for to say that it infuriates someone to talk about giving, something's wrong with the heart. When you think about what Jesus Christ paid, that you and I might be called children of God, and you think, amen, preach on grace and preach on, you know, salvation, preaching it's great, but don't preach on giving. God is letting us know he's paid a price for us. By the way, if he had not paid the price, he would deserve what he said about the tithe because he's God. But because he did pay the price and God was in on it, he more than deserves the tithe. He deserves the giving. And I pray that God, please explain this to me. How can one who knows that Christ did what he did and then sing, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, and become infuriated when someone talks about giving? Explain that to me. I've been in this thing a long time. I don't think we can. I think we can make an excuse, but we can't explain it. Now, for you here this morning not saved, he's not talking to you. He's talking to his children. And the reason God's people obey God, even in giving, that you can come here this morning and enjoy this atmosphere, enjoy this heat or air, lights without candles. You don't have to have the old-timey funeral home fan like we used to have to keep fanning. They do it because they love God, and they want to see you saved. They invest in souls through the local church collectively because they believe God is still saving souls. So if you're here today, this message is not for you. It's God's people learning what they've done so you can be saved and get in on this thing. If you're here not saved today, God loves you. Jesus died for you. You need him as your Savior. I beg of you. Don't turn things off because on Stewardship Month, the third Sunday in February, we're talking about the difference between giving, tithing and giving. Think about those who obey God. Do it because they want to see you saved. They want to see you saved. And they know the message of this book that tells them what to do is also the message of this book that tells you what to do to get saved. I beg you this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, don't let Satan get in your mind and say, well, that's just like all the preachers I see on television. All they're doing is asking for money. No, we'll pass a plate in front of you every time you come. But we will not give another message like this again for a long period of time this year. Unless God touches our heart. But most of the time, it's one time a year that we do it. God, help us to be cheerful givers. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the study. I thank you for the fact of what you left in your word. And dear Father, I'm sure that all of us somehow along the line have failed to comply 100% to what you said because a lot of times it was ignorance. We just didn't know the difference. And then there's times when we didn't know the difference, but Lord, we intended, had good intentions to do certain things and made a choice to do it. And we took what was not ours from you and some reason didn't keep a record and it got lost in the back of our mind and we forgot it. And we think, well, Lord, nothing's really happened. You didn't strike me down, so it must be okay. But you keep a record. And your record, one of these days, we will stand before each one of us. And it will be made right in completeness as God keeps the record. Dear Father, thank you. In spite of our failures, in spite of our misunderstandings, in spite of our actions in this life, thank you that you loved us when we were yet sinners. You loved us and Jesus came, died for us. Now as children of God, you still love us even more. Dear Father, we know that we're going to give an account one day to you. But thank God, because we neglected things in our life to obey you, doesn't take our birth away in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. And please help us every time we hear a message that's gearing us, dear Lord, in a direction maybe at the fork of the road. We can go in another direction to obey God more than go in the direction we've been going. We'll let you help us correct that and say to you, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. And even in that which only you see, maybe the bookkeeper and a few others, dear Lord, I want to obey you and give it. Maybe I might feel that the tithe's not from the New Testament. The Old Testament saints did it. If Abraham did it before God ever gave us a law, surely there's nowhere I can find he took that out. The tithe must still be the Lord's. I do know this. The New Testament said the church is the center point now, not the tabernacle or the temple, like it was with Israel. So we come to you this morning asking you to help us learn, give us power to put it applicable to our lives and enforce it, and help us be the vessel you can use until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.